Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to hour number three of Radio Law Talk. Thank you for joining us on this fine Saturday, depending on where you're at. For us here, it is the windy, rainy, blustery, windy Saturday. It's very wet outside, storming. I don't know if I should be concerned. I think I just saw a bunch of animals walking by two by two, so we'll see how that develops. I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred Penny, who's on assignment. To my right, Denise Dirks. Denise, how you holding up 2 hours in? How's it going?
I'm doing great. I kind of get the silent giggles every now and then, you know, trying to maintain.
The silent giggles. And then we didn't hear too much, but if you've been listening the first hours, that silky voice from behind the glass, Cal Hunter.
Braving the storms. Right? It's a great day outside in Northern California. We have been hoping and praying for rain, and God said, okay, and here it is. Okay, yeah. I mean, it is here, yeah.
I mean, it is really coming down. So while that's been happening outside, inside here in the studio and over the airwaves, we've been talking a lot of legal stuff, talking about Michael Avenatti, talking about Alex Murdaugh. Who else? What else do we cover here, Denise?
You pretty much said it. We had some fun case or no cases.
Yeah, Kim Kardashian, Floyd Mayweather, avoid temporarily, for the moment,
legal liability.
Legal liability in a class action lawsuit that may come back. We'll see what the plaintiffs do. And you mentioned case or no case. So Cal,
yes, Todd.
When we were going in a world where Cal was paying attention, when we were going into the break, you had mentioned that the case or no case this hour was going to deal with fraudulent meat.
Beef, as it were.
Fraudulent beef.
Yes, bad beef, in other words.
Which prompted a comment from Denise that then resulted in a silent giggle.
Exactly right. Yes.
But so, let's go ahead and do that right now.
Here we go.
Take it away.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
A small meatpacking company in California had a sweet deal. They sold meat purchased on the hoof from area ranchers to their meat market in a major urban center. They claimed the beef was all prime, grass-fed, locally sourced, organically grown, all the buzzwords, you know. But Bob Fitzsimmons was a meat packer employee who was fired from the packing plant for complaining too much. And he had pictures that proved the product backstory was a lie. He had photo of meat rotting in boxes, spoiling, ants crawling all over it, inferior grades of meat from other companies brought into the packing plant and repackaged as prime, even though it was only choice at best and not organic. And word got out to a local media outlet who did their due diligence and ran with the story of the fake organic meat. When this happened, the owner of a small grocery store that sold the beef realized this was a problem, and his customers were complaining. Pietro's all-natural earth market in El Sobrante, California, went to their company attorney and said, "I spent a lot of money with this firm for a lie. I've been damaged, and I want them to pay me." Yes, Pietro Rosalini wanted to know if he had a case or no case. Denise Dirks, did he? For being defrauded by the meat wholesaler?
His business was called Pietro's All Natural Meat
Market. Pietro's All Natural Market.
So market. All
claiming everything that he sold was all natural, including the meat, or at least giving that veneer. Yeah.
Market. Got it.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Pietro's Pizza?
Yeah. Good
and
stuff.
You know that the meat there is not all natural?
Of course not.
Okay.
On what pizza is meat all natural? I ask you. I mean, really, if you think about
know.
It. Yeah, I don't know either.
I can't even think of a good comeback. Mystic Pizza.
The FCC has forbidden me from commenting on those obvious setups. So.
It was kind of a low-hanging
fruit.
Meat. But okay. Sorry. So, Denise.
What was the small meat packing industry called, or the company called?
Let me look. Hold on. It's actually in the answer, so let me look.
The what?
Belcampo.
So did Pietro's sue Belcampo?
Yeah, that's the question, yeah. And if so, how did they do?
I am going to say this is a case. And Belcampo wins.
Okay. What do you think?
They had some kind of disclaimer on their meat. Just like other people we may know.
Well, that I'd like to see. Okay, Todd, what do you
think? A disclaimer. Objects in the mirror may appear larger than...
it is all natural.
Okay. Okay, so...
Like the Seinfeld episode. Okay, go ahead.
No, listen, so... Where's the fraud?
The wholesaler defrauds, allegedly, the retailer who allegedly by default defrauded his customers who were coming back at him for this. And that's how
but did anybody come back at, was it Pietro's?
Yes.
Did anybody sue Pietro's?
Yes. Which
okay.
prompted the market.
So,
the case.
Essentially, Pietro's is being sued, so... If they got sued, then they would be filing a cross-claim against
Belcampo yep.
for the bad meat.
Yes.
And listen, Pietro's, when the bad meat comes through the door, when they open up when they remove the packaging that is concealing said bad meat, before they put this meat out to their customers. You'd think that if it was rancid, infested, they'd be able to look at it and say, hold on a second, this is not a choice cut.
The premise was that the plant was corrupt, not necessarily the product that made it to them. That what was happening in the plant belied all of this natural, grass-fed, organic, all these other claims made by the meat seller. So that was the issue, not necessarily that they got rotten meat with ants on it to sell, but that the company providing it was lying to them. Yeah.
And the employee claimed he was like fired for being honest.
Right, a watchdog. Yeah.
So you know, this reminds me of this is going to be another one of those back when I was married stories.
Oh no.
Speaking
of rotten.
hence fraudulent meat. I went there.
No, I didn't go there. I my wife used to love to go. She fancied herself a wine connoisseur, and she used to like to go to these parties where everybody take a bottle of wine, they take the labels off, and then see who won and stuff. And there'd be people bringing these $100 bottles of wine and stuff. And then she'd always say, "Hey, go get me a bottle of wine from the supermarket. I got to take it." And every time I'd go, and I'd get some red that was like $3 off the bottom shelf at Safeway, and I'd give it to her, and I think she won three times. Okay, because nobody could tell the difference.
Yeah.
And so my question here is, who ate this beef and without hearing anything went back and said, there ain't no way this is what you say it is. There is no way this is what you said it was, because it tastes like garbage, it tastes like this, it tastes like that. And because of that, because I am stalling so I can think about this.
I want you to remember there's nothing self-righteous as a wronged meat do-gooder. Remember that. This is an important thing to keep in mind.
People are very careful about their meat and the meat they choose to encounter.
Rightfully so.
And I will give you my answer after the break, what I think about this meat conundrum.
As Denise Chortles in the background.
A
ever,
meet and greet, if you will.
Ever so silently.
We'll a meet and retreat.
Radio Law Talk continues after this. Don't go away. You will want to meet this answer head on after the break. I promise.
You found Radio Law Talk.
All advertising. advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do. And I know this place right down the road. Quick Car Wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cutter shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, Quick Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Car Wash.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
This is Radio Law Talk with Frederick Penny.
All right, so here we are talking about Meatgate, and I'll say my answer here just to recap. Well, this meatpacking company supplied a reseller, we'll just call it that, with beef that they held out as being organic and top of the line and everything. And then a whistleblower at the meatpacking company said it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. And so now the reseller is being sued, does the reseller then sue the meatpacking company for, hey, you sold me a bill of goods and I'm getting sued for fraud and I had no business knowing this? And I will say, based upon all of that, yes, the Petros is suing Bell Packing? Is that the...
Bell Campo.
So, yes, it is a case they're suing. But, you know, this sounds to me like a Cal Hunter special. A Cal Hunter special in this regard.
What?
That he does this, and we opine as to whether or not they win or they lose, only to have Cal later say, we don't have an answer yet because the case is still pending. And that
is not the case now.
It's not the case now?
No,
okay.
Well, you said it before you said.
All right.
I'm just saying it's either no case or not pending. It's not pending.
Okay.
It's
all right. So I will say then that it is a case and that the reseller, Petros, does recover because of Bell Campo's alleged fraud, which turned out to not be alleged in this case.
In this case. And Denise, what was your answer?
I said Belfleur wins, or Bell Campo wins, but it's a case.
So both of us said case. She says Bell Campo wins. I say Bell Campo loses.
So you both said a case. Did you? Both of you?
Yes.
Both of you? I just want to make sure.
Yes.
Because this is double points Saturday, right? So both of you said a case.
Yes.
And I say... No such guy as Pietro Rasolini. However, true scenario. The Siskiyou County meatpacking plant, Bel Campo, closed in October, and Bel Campo Meat Company no longer exists. There may be some law enforcement proceedings going on in the background. We don't know. But then suffice it to say the former leaders of the company will not get any more Iron Chef invitations. They're out.
Wow.
So Bel Campo is gone, and this is a true story. It's a true story. About
so, that.
Yeah.
Cal... You are ahead in this game.
Yay! Wait,
he's at 8.
First time in my life. I love that.
Todd's at 6, and I'm at 4.
And don't forget, double points Saturday.
Yes.
I like that.
Cal skunked us both twice.
Well, I apologize about that. I'm so sorry.
But he had to do it by lying. And so this is my prediction. We will all be there in the great judgment. And somebody will say, how you liking those points, Cal? Don't dress for cold weather.
Well, I'm thinking that St. Peter will say, you know what? He got me, too. That's all I'm hoping.
He got me, too. Oh, my. Did you ever hear the joke about the lawyer that died and he goes up and he was, you know, only 41, 42 years old, goes up to the pearly gates. And he is upset. I was taken too early, he says. I was taken too early. I mean, I was only 42. And at that time, St. Peter says, hold on, stop. How would you say you were? He says, 42. He goes, hold on a minute. Peter goes to the back, comes out with this big ledger, and says, well, according to the hours you've billed, you're 97. Yes.
Now, that's a good one.
Yes.
And highly possible, by the way.
Yes, highly, highly.
Well, I did not skunk you with any malice whatsoever, so please do not come and sue me in a case or no case.
All right, we won't.
That's all I'm hoping for.
You know, Denise, when somebody... Let's see, when a younger teenager gets pregnant and they don't want to, they don't want to be a mother, but they don't want to abort the pregnancy, oftentimes they can be a conduit to help out others that might want to be a parent through the miracle of adoption. That can happen. Boy, what are some negative consequences that might happen in the state of Idaho if a person says, I'm offering to adopt that child? What happened in Idaho?
Well, in Idaho, there is a softball coach, or there was a softball coach who worked for Idaho State. And exactly that happened. We're talking about an adult child.
Yes.
Became pregnant and has tried to hide the pregnancy from everybody. And when the coach found out she was pregnant and she did not want her mother or father to know about it, she had offered to adopt the child. Now, both of these, this does implicate a lot of really important things. What was the choices of the athlete in this case, the softball player? She could either terminate, right?
Yes.
Or she could have it and adopt to somebody she doesn't know. Or maybe have the child and the father would take the child. Or she was a single mom. So those are her choices.
And probably have to exit the softball protocol because of having a child while playing the game. It would absolutely change her life significantly.
Exactly.
As well as the strike zone.
Right.
Go on.
Bump one.
Everything's double entendre here. So
I don't know.
So what happens when the softball coach offers to adopt this child? She gets fired from her job.
That is shocking.
It is shocking, and there's no reasonable basis for that. I'm sorry. Maybe the reasonable basis is don't keep, you know, an adult softball player's secrets for her, or, you know, I don't know what the purpose of the firing was, but her name is Jamie Wickens, and she was 38 years old, and she's very religious, and she said that she was fired improperly. And it was a violation of her First Amendment rights to have been fired. And that's because she is religious, she believes in adoption over abortion, and she was trying to help out one of the students.
Yeah, and not just First Amendment. I would imagine there would be some other rights involved there, too, when they really flesh it out, I would think. I mean, she's an adult. The mother-to-be is apparently over 18 in the state of Idaho, so legally an adult as well. What's this about? Is this a morals clause in an agreement or what? I don't know how they can do it. I don't either,
but we'll have to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. When we come back from the break, I want to comment just a little bit on this, and then we'll go on to another case. But I've got a take on this that, it's not a be careful or wait, are we making judgment too soon? But it does raise some interesting issues when it comes to labor and employment.
Can't wait to hear it. That's coming up next on Radio Law Talk after we take a bottom of the hour break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You found Radio Law Talk.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call E-Insurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR.
USA Radio News.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Kremlin forces have turned the city of Bakhmut in the eastern part of his country into ruins. Russian President Vladimir Putin has been focused on the four Ukrainian provinces that he has claimed to have annexed into the Russian Federation. The American soccer community is mourning the loss of Grant Wall, who died while covering the World Cup in Qatar. He was 48 years old. Carrie Lake is challenging her defeat in the Arizona gubernatorial election. The Republican lost by less than 1% to Katie Hobbs, the state's Democratic Secretary of State. Fellow Republican Mark Fincham is also challenging the results. Charges have been dismissed against former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder in relation to the Flint water crisis. He's the eighth person to have a case thrown out in the scandal after a unanimous opinion from the state Supreme Court. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
I'm 37.
I think that's the best. This is no fun.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So we're back here on Radio Law Talk, and we're talking about this case of the softball coach who was fired because the softball coach had proposed to adopt the soon-to-be-born child of one of the students. He's either a student or one of the student-athletes. I can't remember if it was
that. Student-athlete.
Was it a student-athlete?
Yes.
Okay. And so initially you look at that and you say, oh, my gosh, she offered to do this benevolent thing and was fired for it. How dare they do this? But, you know, there's some considerations to take. There's some things to take into consideration. First, the coach wasn't the head coach. I know that doesn't mean too much, but typically head coaches are on a multi-year contract or maybe a permanent employee of the school. This was an assistant coach who was working on a 10-year contract, or a 10-month contract, sorry, a 10-month contract. And it wasn't that she was terminated from that contract. It was just they chose not to renew her for another contract going forward. That raises a couple of issues in the sense that, well, usually the terms of the contract would spell out if there was any misconduct, and by their very nature, contracts don't necessarily guarantee renewal, and a school is free to renew or not renew. Now, the school may still have to face issues if the reason for not renewing the contract was because of somebody's existence in or participation in a protected class, which religious freedom is there. And this softball coach is saying that it was her religious duty to adopt orphans, to help the parentless. And so that was their duty. However, the school made an interesting statement in response to this lawsuit and the litigation. And specifically, the school says that the university has what's called a care team. That's an acronym for, they didn't say what the acronym is for, but the team, actually the school, shocker, the school actually has a program in place for instances where any member of the student body becomes pregnant Because guess what? That's going to happen on college campuses, right? And the school has a program in place where they assess the needs of the individual and operate, as they claim, to do what's in the best interests of the student, and there's a protocol in place to handle that. There's also a protocol in place for the school to deal with what they termed are potential conflicts of interest. Now, Denise, what might have been the potential conflict of interest here?
Well, the potential conflict of interest, I think, played out in this case by the facts.
Which were?
That the adoption did not occur. The baby was born but never left the hospital. And we don't know what the student mother felt after the birth of the baby. Did she want to assert her rights as the parent? Is there an actual now conflict between the proposed adopting parents and the single mother? And the child did pass. The child didn't ever make it out of the hospital.
It was born prematurely, right?
It was born prematurely. And plus she was hiding it from everybody. So, you know, on top of that, maybe that child, she was not taking care of herself enough to really have a healthy child. So, in my opinion, the college has kind of a good argument, and that by putting herself out there, even if the student asked the assistant coach for her and her husband to adopt her baby, that doesn't mean that there wasn't a potential for a conflict of interest to occur. And I think that this case kind of pulls out the facts a little bit better and maybe underscores the reasoning behind the college's disapproval of having inappropriate, interests with students and keeping things quiet from the students' parents. And, I mean, it goes on and on and on.
So in statements that were made, there's one thing that I see that could develop into what the school is viewing as a huge conflict of interest. And the statement is that the softball coach and her husband offered to adopt the child. Now, here is the interesting thing. What were the conditions under which they offered to adopt the child? Did they offer to adopt the child without the student athlete asking? What this coach should have done is, and what the school is going to say, is rather than circumventing the entire evidence-based program that we have based on psychologists and people that are professionals in the field that deal with this, rather than doing that, the coach offered, and they're probably going to say pressured by the offer, the student athlete to accept the offer of adoption, which would have circumvented everything. Look, we can't have people doing that. If we have a program at the college to deal with this, then that needs to be followed, and the school can't be letting this be an ad hoc situation, meaning every time it comes up, it's going to be handled differently depending on the school authority, the coach that the pregnant individual speaks to. The protocol here and what you agreed to do when you signed on to be even a contract employee was to follow the policies of the school.
Right.
And the policies of the school are when you are notified of this, you send it through this channel, and you didn't do that.
Is it possible that the mother-to-be said, please don't do that, because if you do, I want my child to be with someone I know, someone like you and your husband, and that's my wish?
Yes.
Is that not respected by...
I think that's possible, but that may not have been the policy of the school. And I also think it's coming down to financial things.
Could be,
and I am cynical, because I've been trained to be cynical. And if you have a student that is at the school, don't they have insurance through that school? And who's going to pay for the cost of the premature baby and the all of the hospital costs too? I think that also creates a potential conflict of interest with the school.
Heaven forbid, through the development of this case, we find out that the baby was born premature because of the stress that the mother was having.
Exactly.
That might have been exacerbated
right.
by the pressure from a softball coach saying, you know, what happens is, now this is all speculation, but this is a scenario that arises in adoption cases. What happens as closer to the date of the birth, the mother as you had said, starts to have second thoughts. You know, and then you got somebody's, well, we already bought the crib and we already did, you know, and it's that's why you don't go and do it this way. You go through the protocol that the school has established.
So the school says no side deals and that's it.
Yeah.
And so we're not going to renew you. And so everybody,
So they don't renew you.
And I have a question too. I mean, some colleges do have an agreement with parents. If they are financially supporting their child through college, there may be an agreement that they have to share if there's any medical emergencies with their child. Even if they're an adult, there has to be maybe some agreement to that effect in these financial arrangements. I mean, there's so much unknown here that we just don't know. But the conflict of interest doesn't just mean a conflict between the coach and the student. The conflict of interest can be a conflict between the coach and the school, or the student and the school. And even the student and the parents.
And remember the 26-year law, Denise, when it comes to medical insurance. Kids can be on their parents' insurance for 26 years, which means, until age 26, which means they would have found out about any claims that she would have filed, which is obviously something she wanted to avoid.
Wouldn't you love to be part of that conversation?
Oh, man.
So how's it going, dear? Yeah, I want to, can you tell us, we got this bill from our insurance company. The neonatal, I don't know. You know, it's just the long and short of it is this. It's easy to look at a headline to say, oh, my gosh, this person is being fired because they tried to do this benevolent thing and how bad for that school. No, you got to peel the onion on this thing.
It is complicated.
Very complicated. Yeah. And at this point, without knowing more, boy, I can't say who I think was in the right or in the wrong, but I see arguments on both sides. It's not as one-sided sometimes as the news makes it seem.
Right, and we are on the air in Idaho, in the Burley, Idaho, so our sympathies to the young woman who lost the child and to all of that, to everyone who was involved. This must have been a gut-wrencher all the way.
Hard facts here.
Hard stuff, yeah.
When we come back, we're going to touch on a couple of things, an exploitation case, we're going to update you on the Theranos-related lawsuits. So we got a quick update on Amber Heard, Harvey Weinstein, and then we got quick takes. So don't go away. We'll be back after this.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk on many great local radio stations all across the United States, and many of you choose to listen online or via podcast via delay. And we thank you. No matter how you're listening, thank you for turning us on, and thanks for listening to Radio Law Talk. We'll be back.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamgaday.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
You know, there's a lot of ways that theft can occur, and not that there's like not I don't want to say that there are untragic ways or acceptable ways, but there are some ways in which theft occurs that are really sad. And much sadder than the others. Look, it's one thing if somebody goes in and takes a candy bar, steals something from a convenience store and stuff like that. But when it happens to truly vulnerable victims, that really gets to me. And Denise, we got a case about that.
So yes,
we do. What happened out of the state of Florida?
Well, Kathy Aru, I think that's how you pronounce it, she was on Fox kind of a person that would be a commenter and talk about different things. And she actually had a profile on Fox. And she was really hosted the Liberal SERPA podcast. And she had a mother who, you know, was older. And like a lot of us, we experience where your mother or father, one of your parents, or both your parents have to come live with you, and you have to help them and all of that. And so she was helping her mother, allegedly. And what was happening is that she, on two different occasions, put her mother into a old folks home, if you will, and basically one time drugged her, allegedly, and it was both times against her mother's will, and they would tell the folks at the home where the mother was in, don't allow her access to phones, don't listen to her, don't give her credibility, you know, all those kind of things. And it caused people to investigate. Her actions became suspicious. And what they found was that she had stolen at least $204,000 from her 88-year-old mother.
Oh, man.
Yes. and that she had really coerced her mother into these nursing homes against her will. And it's really a tragic kind of a case.
Apparently, Fox doesn't pay that well. I mean,
right.
These are
allegations right now. She's been charged with exploiting it. But one of the things that happens, I don't know about Florida law, but in California, if you're charged with any kind of financial abuse or abuse of an elder person, it's treble damages. That means you have to pay treble damages. And I don't know if it's the same way for restitution, if it's treble restitution as well, but civilly, it's treble damages.
Yes. I don't know what it is in the state of California. Denise and I, we both have a specific interest in not only human interest, but in terms of our professional background. Denise, you handle conservatorships where issues similar to this come up.
Correct.
Quite a lot. For a while there, I had various specialty assignments as a prosecutor. One of them for about a year long was I was the elder abuse prosecutor. When you hear the word abuse, you think physical abuse, but no, elder abuse is if there's theft and the theft comes from somebody, the victim is age 65 and over. Now it's elder abuse theft related. And that was probably the more common type of elder abuse that I prosecuted.
So was elder abuse the prime crime or an enhancement in that case?
Both.
Both. Because yes. It is, if it's theft and the victim is 65 or over, now it becomes an elder abuse theft case.
Got it.
Which enhances the penalty.
That's right. As Denise had talked about. And there are a couple of telltale signs, things that happen, common stuff. And we see so much of it in the allegations of this case. For example, When the title of the house is now changed from the elder, the victim, and now it's in the name of the person who is suspected to be the perpetrator. When you have financial dealings, you go to financial institutions like banks or what have you, and title is being changed like this. When you have medical situations that are... a doctor sees that and thinks that it's suspect because somebody is being claimed to be out of their mind or not competent mentally, but the doctor says they are. Now, the nice thing, and the thing that helps out, is in most states, if not all, there are mandatory reporting laws. In this case here, Denise talked about investigation was spurred, and I'm telling you right now, without it saying here, I'm relatively confident that this was law enforcement was alerted not only because somebody took the time to contact law enforcement, but they had a statutory obligation to do it. Like, everybody knows that if a child goes to a therapist and the therapist suspects some sort of abuse, that the therapist is a mandatory reporter, supposed to call law enforcement to say, this is what's going on.
Clergy, therapist.
That's right.
Yes, right.
With
same thing for a therapist about child abuse. So
yes.
It's very similar. The elder abuse and child abuse mandated reporters are very similar.
That's right. So we kind of jumped the gun, but like we have that for kids, the same thing is true for people that are 65 and over. If somebody comes into a financial institution and the person in the financial institution is like, we're putting your name on the bank account, the house is being changed from the elder's name to your name, and if that person sees something suspicious going on there, they have a responsibility to contact law enforcement. Healthcare officials have a responsibility to contact law enforcement if somebody is checked into a nursing home.
Exactly.
With the idea that they are not mentally competent, and the doctors are like, this person is completely lucid and competent and can make decisions. Something is amiss here.
Or even the caretakers in the nursing home, they have the same kind of a mandated obligation.
That's correct. And we see that happening in this case, and as a result, this person who, you know, was a managing editor for the Washington Post magazine and had been on Fox, on Tucker Carlson's show on Fox as a contributor, as far as that's concerned, you know, that was her career, but this investigation started as early as, what, 2018, 2019?
2018, yeah.
And now it has led to criminal charges.
It just goes to show you there are potentially bad people everywhere, and when greed can get involved, if this is true, each of us is susceptible. We have to be very cautious. And as an old guy, I'm thinking, how can I protect myself? I mean,
and the elderly are actual protected class. So, you know, it's important for us to continue that protection, honestly, and it's important for professionals and mental health and all kinds of different professionals to be looking for that type of particular injury to protect a class, because elder people need that help. They just do.
That's right. And
they're vulnerable was the key.
They're more
used,
vulnerable.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, extremely vulnerable. And the people that would take from the elderly...
Special place in the dark side.
Well, I would just say the people that would do that, if there's really no scruples, you can't think, well, nobody would do that. That would be absolutely terrible. Yes, they would.
To their own parent, too.
Yes. And
that's the hard part for me to digest.
Yeah. And that's where you... So I say this to say, folks... if your parents are over the age of 65 and are elderly, take special care. You know, it's hard for people to do and engage in this kind of behavior. Now, I realize this was a mother-daughter, but it's hard for this to happen when other people are also interacting and the elderly person has a lot of social interaction with other people, and it's not limited to just one person. But Cal... We were going to do some updates, but we got to get to our quick takes because we are about up.
Yep, we've about hit the time wall, and so now it is time for you two to give us what you want folks to remember from Radio Law Talk with your quick take for this week. Mr. Kunin, what's yours?
Okay, so here's what I have learned from the Michael Avenatti and Alex Murtaugh cases, and it's this. If you find yourself in a hole having hit bottom, the best thing that you can do right off the bat is stop digging.
Good one.
Stop digging.
And Denise Dirks, what is your quick take for us?
Well, I have learned nothing at all from this show today. But I have an observation. To tweet or to tell the truth, I see no difference.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. You were ready. You were ready, and I was not, and I apologize for that. I had this bit all set. Would you say that again, please, Denise?
I said, to tweet or to tell the truth, I see no difference.
You're all morons!
Thank you, and I'm sorry about I blew the setup. I was off on a different screen. Thanks to both of you.
All right, thank you for joining us here on Radio Law Talk on every Saturday, 9 to noon Pacific time, or you can catch us on RadioLawTalk.com or our podcast. We look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks, folks.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com. A copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.